Friends, this is Dr. Ralph Wilson with the Jesus Walk Bible Study Series. We're studying Songs of Ascent, Psalms 120 to 134. And this is number 6, Psalm 125, The Lord Surrounds His People. Let's pray. Lord, we look to you. Thank you, O God, that there's nowhere we can go to escape your care for us. Your love pursues us, O God, and enfolds us. Thank you. Open up your word to us today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. As pilgrims throng the roads on their way to the festival in the holy city, singing as they go, they trudge up the hard limestone hills of the Judean mountain chain, once heavily forested. At an elevation of about 2,500 feet, Jerusalem is surrounded by hills. Pilgrims from the north around the Sea of Galilee would often go down to the Jordan River to avoid going through Samaria, then climb 3,350 feet in elevation up the Jerusalem-Jericho road to the city, a hard climb. The mountains around Jerusalem couldn't help but get their attention. Let me read for you Psalm 125, 1 through 5 in the English Standard Version. A Song of Ascents. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. But those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with the evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. As the psalmist climbs the hills, marveling at the rugged mountains surrounding the beautiful city, he meditates on what he is seeing. First, he begins to compare the believers, those who trust in Yahweh, to Mount Zion itself. Verse 1. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever. Just like Mount Zion is rock solid and cannot be shaken, so they are on solid ground as they place their trust or reliance on the Lord. Second, the mountains surrounding the holy city remind the psalmist that the Lord surrounds his people, protecting them from every direction. Verse 2. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. A couple of other psalms echo this sense of security. Psalm 32:10, many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. We can feel secure in him, held up by his everlasting arms. There's something reassuring about a hug and that God is all around us. The ancient Celtic Christians understood the idea. I am reminded of some lines from a Celtic hymn attributed to Irish apostle St. Patrick from the early 5th century AD, a hymn known as St. Patrick's Breastplate. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ within me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ at my right, Christ at my left, Christ in the fort, that is at home, Christ in the chariot seat, that is traveling by land, Christ in the stern, that is traveling by water. How comforting that Yahweh surrounds his people. Jerusalem, as the political capital of ancient Israel, is also the residence of the king, in whose hand is the scepter, the symbol of ruling authority. The psalmist writes, verse 3, for the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong. The issue is righteousness, justice in the land. As you may recall, on day 3, Psalm 122:5, we discussed the king's thrones for judgment, or justice, in the holy city. I've heard people say that leadership ability is what is important in a ruler, that character is secondary. A king may be a notorious womanizer, crooked in his dealings, and show an utter disregard for truth, but it doesn't matter. We don't expect our king to be a saint. So they say. But the psalmist sees the scepter of wickedness as abhorrent to Israel, a land that has been given to the righteous believers by God himself. Wickedness must not linger there, nor be sanctioned by a wicked government, for if it does, an unrighteous leader will give license for even righteous people to begin to do wrong and become evildoers who turn aside from righteousness to their crooked ways. As Jesus said, Matthew 7:17, the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A ruler of unrighteous character can corrupt the whole nation. Of course, no leader is all righteous or all evil. Even the worst can have redeeming qualities. But Israel, a land that had many evil rulers following the golden era of David and Solomon, knew all too well the moral devastation brought about by evil rulers who remained in power, sometimes for long reigns. It's there in Israel's history for all to see, spelled out in the books of Kings and Chronicles. May our leaders today be righteous. May they not allow corruption and wickedness. Now the psalmist calls on Yahweh to reward those who are trying to live a righteous life before him, even though they may be ridiculed or opposed by the wicked. I'm reading verses 4 and 5. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. But to those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. Bless the righteous, he prays. Let there be a noticeable reward for living a righteous life. He talks about their character with the interesting phrase, an upright heart, a heart that wants to do what is good and right. The psalmist contrasts the upright in heart with those who veer off the path of righteousness into crooked ways, ways that are bent and perverted, crooked rather than straight, corrupt, amoral people who will do anything to increase their money and power. The psalmist declares that Yahweh will ultimately banish evildoers from his land. When Christ returns, there will be terrible judgments upon the wicked. The corrupt world system will be destroyed, referred to the great prostitute in Revelation 17 and Babylon in Revelation 18. Finally, after being purified by fire, our world will become a new earth in which righteousness dwells, 2 Peter 3:13. The psalmist concludes this short psalm with a declaration and prayer. Psalm 125, 5, peace be upon Israel. There is no peace in a land ruled by unrighteousness, nor in a life that has veered off from the narrow way into a shady world of compromise and dabbling with evil. The only true peace is that which God gives. Shalom is a rich word that encompasses not just absence of conflict, but also refers to completion and fulfillment, a state of wholeness and unity, a restored relationship. And Jerusalem, especially the heavenly Zion that is our goal, will truly be the Jerusalem, the city of peace, the city of our God. This psalm comforts us with the image of God surrounding us with his love and protection, but it also challenges us to recognize evil for what it is and pray that our leaders don't condone wickedness in our land. Psalm 125 is a psalm of confidence about the security that believers have in the Lord and the ultimate victory of righteousness over unrighteousness. Let's pray. Father, we see such pain and violence in our world. So much of it has been caused by callous rulers who unrighteously oppress their own and fill the land with conflict that displaces millions of souls. We ask you to help our rulers to rule with righteousness and concern for their people. Help us, O God, to put our trust in your surrounding presence when confusion swirls around us. Bring us peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our Day 6 meditation based on Psalm 125. What does this psalm teach us about the security that the Lord gives us? What examples do you see of unrighteous rulers? What kind of government happens when rulers are unrighteous? What happens in the government of our hearts when we allow unrighteousness in us to continue to guide our actions and thoughts? May God bless you today. Thank you.